Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows the resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash, receive unlimited 1% deposit bonuses, and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Get the privileges of the high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product-specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
You listen to The Expressway with VT Express, Billy Taylor, and Charles Show Me The Way. We're on every single week talking about NFL football on the NFL8podcast.com.
And let's go and let's get it. And welcome to The Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Show Me The Way, and I'm here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor, and we want you to take a ride with us to discover what's going on in the New York football sports scene and the rest of the world of sports. Hey, BT, this week was a tough week for New York football. What's going on
really,
with our
it
team?
Really was, because but you think about it, how bad we've had it in the last 5 or 6 years. You know, for both teams to have 6 victories and still be in line for the playoffs, I'm really happy about that. But I was disappointed in the Giants because, you know, they ran up against probably the best team in football. And that kind of scares me because, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles in this, your hometown, they look like they could beat anybody that day.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. I wanted at least 10 minutes or a quarter of hope, right? But we couldn't even get through one series. And like I said, when I said mark my words last week, we couldn't afford any big mistakes. We couldn't hit critical errors on the offensive side of the ball. And they definitely couldn't stop the run. I mean, if you look at the stats, I think Jalen Hurts had over 60 yards, close to 90 yards rushing, and just ate us up alive in the passing game. I was like, man, we need to work on our defense. Something fierce.
Well, the thing that really showed me is that that's probably maybe the fourth time I've seen the Eagles this year. Jason Hurts really has improved tremendously and should get some kind of award as either the most valuable player or comeback player of the year, because he is totally the leader of that team. And think about going into the offseason, they were talking about a lot of people are talking about the Eagles being much improved on both sides of the ball. Their whole team is better. And it's going to be tough as they come down the stretch. Can they keep that high level of play? Because they still got to play the Giants again. They still got to play the Cowboys again, I think, in a week and a half. And I'm really impressed with the Eagles. And I hate to say it, but they really just took the fight out of the Giants last week.
They did. And I don't think that I can see a loss for the remainder of the season. I think they got the number one seed locked up. I don't think anybody in the division can compete with them. And man, but if you listen to Philly fans, they're just waiting for something bad to happen. I think that town is cursed. Even though the amount of success that all of their Philly sports teams has had, you can still hear the fans like worried, balled up in a corner waiting to cry for something bad to happen. And you know what? I don't fault them, because the Eagles do have some faults, right? I think they can get a little bit overconfident at times. And I would be leery of a few teams in the playoffs that they may face. I.e., for example, if Detroit gets into the playoffs. Now, Detroit was winning. Don't forget, Detroit had like a 14-0 lead before the Eagles came back and won. And I would be scared if I was any playoff team if Detroit got in. And guess who they'll get in over if they do get in? Over our G-men. And I don't know. We're on life support right now. Can we hold on to that last playoff spot? And it's going to come down to this weekend's game against the Commanders to see if, I'm telling you, if we don't win this weekend, you can start lining up your draft board and figuring out who we're going to pick and what at what number. So I don't know. It's going to be tough next. It's going to be a tough next 4 weeks for the Giants.
Well, see, I think that they kind of got problems on the offensive line by people coming in and out. I think that when Saquon hurt his shoulder or his arm, I think it set him back a little bit, because I remember talking to you a couple weeks ago. He carried the ball 35 times. Has not been the same since then. And I don't know. You think about the NFL, the way they do running backs. Plus, they run the heck out of them, and then they try to, you know, run them into the ground to get every ounce out of them. And then you wonder why a running back doesn't come back after 35 carries. So I'm worried about Saquon, because without him, I don't know if the Giants have a chance at all.
Yeah, it's hard. I'm hoping we get some guys back this week. I think Bredesen should be back this week. I think he's finished his 21 days post IR list practice time. So if they can get Bredesen back, that'll shore up that offensive line. I'm hoping that, you know, Darius Slayton can at least continue doing what he's doing. He's been overachieving, right? And it isn't that prototypical of New York Giants just have overachieving wide receivers? Ever since Odell left, we've always had overachieving wide receivers, right? So think about this. If you look at all of the draft picks under Jerry Reese, anybody, all the draft picks that have come through the Giants, once they've left the Giants, have they ever been productive?
Well, the thing I'm wondering now is Kadarius Toney got traded to Kansas City, and they're utilizing his speed. But see, he's kind of on the bandwagon of being maybe not a good citizen, I would say. And so that's the reason, because why would you get rid of somebody who you draft in the first round that quickly? You know, because I remember last year he had a decent game against the Cowboys, and then people thought he was coming back. Then he got hurt again. But you can't make the team in the tub. You know, when you get hurt, there's no – really, you're not very good to your team. So, you know, they got some problems, but I don't think Brian Daboll is going to allow them, anybody, to quit yet, because for them to be in playoff contention this week's game, and we'll talk about it a little more in the second quarter, they really got to step up big time.
That's right. And you're listening to the Expressway with the Charles Show Me the Way and the BT Express, Billy Taylor. You know, one of the things that I was really disappointed, and it really showed the lack of athleticism, is our defensive side of the ball. From the beginning of the season till now, and granted, they have a lot of guys hurt and out. A lot of their frontline players are hurt. You got, you know, Xavier McKinney is out. Adoree Jackson is out. Leonard Williams is out. I mean, they got those are critical pieces to that defense, and especially the way that they want to play that pressure type defense. They can't do it because they don't have the talent on the back end to cover these talented receivers that they've been going against man to man. So I think hopefully if we can get these guys healthy, then you have an opportunity to at least stay in the playoff hunt. But it does, I think the last couple of weeks has exposed, and I told you last week, exposed our linebacker core. I don't think our linebackers are athletic enough to compete with the top teams in the league right now, especially teams like the Eagles, the Vikings, and to some extent the Redskins. So hopefully they can continue to mask their flaws this week, and they'll come out with a victory.
Well, I like the Giants defensive corner, Coach Wink, as they call him. I really like him because he's next man up, which means that if you get hurt, who's ever behind, that's your opportunity to do something. And the thing about it is that the Giants, you know, they've had a lot of injuries this year, but it gives people a chance to evaluate people to see if they can play. So they're going to know by the time they go into the offseason next season what kind of team they're going to have, because, you know, they're going to have an idea of what their cap is going to be, what their money is going to be, what they can spend, who they can get in free agency, what they need as far as wide receivers or linebackers. And I think that's going to be a better evaluating year. So this year, I can't really fault anybody in the general management, because I think they're doing exactly what they should do to put the Giants in position to be successful, hopefully, next season.
And you know, a good GM always covers his behind. And yep. Shane covered his behind at the beginning of the season and said, hey, look, he told everybody that would listen, hey, we may not be that great this year because we don't have a lot of money to spend and we don't have the talent that we should have. And so everybody forgot about it because they started off, 4-1, 5-1. And they were like, yeah, we're going to the playoffs. We got a great team, da da da. And now Shane can say, hey, I told you at the beginning of the season we weren't that good. Right. And so a good GM always covers his behind, just making sure, they were living above their scorecard. Right. Or they were playing above their records. And so hopefully, like I said, hopefully this next weekend, they'll beat the Commanders and at least give us some more hope going into the last 3 weeks of the season.
Well, I'm a little bit concerned because it seems like they're in a rut right now. Danny Jones just came off his 50th start. And I think that after 50 starts, I don't know, Charles, and we really did discuss it yet. After 50 starts, are you going to make a decision on him right now? Last week, I thought he played decent, but he didn't have a running game and he was a little bit inaccurate with some of his passes. So I don't know. The jury is still out on Danny Jones. I know he's not a top 10 quarterback, but what do you say about him at this point in the season after 50 starts, Charles Way?
Yeah, I think the jury, like you said, I think the jury is still out on what do you do with him at the end of the year, right? Is he worth a franchise tag? He might be worth a transition tag. You don't want to give him $30 to $40 million for 1 year, but maybe a transition tag. You may not have a high draft pick. I don't know what type of quarterbacks will be out there when it's their time to pick. But like I said, I think if there isn't a quarterback out there, this year should be a stopgap year. Maybe it is worth signing Daniel Jones for another year, at least one more year, maybe shoring up that defense, maybe having another year of experience with that young offensive line. Don't forget, those two tackles are very young, going into their third and second year next year. So hopefully they'll be more mature and better able to handle the daily grind of the NFL. So I'm optimistic. I'm not sold on Daniel Jones, but I'm not selling Daniel Jones either. So we still have time. And I think that I'm curious to see what happens the rest of the way so that I can have a better picture of what we do with Daniel Jones, especially if I was put in the GM position, I would still have to wait, because I think these next four games will allow me to determine what I do. But in saying that, are there really any good free agents out there that you would select over Daniel Jones right now?
Well, see, I think they have to wait to the end of the season to give a complete evaluation of Danny Jones. He's shown me some moments. He's shown me that he's coachable, but he's got to work on his accuracy. But then if you look at the quarterback for the Eagles, he worked on his accuracy last year, and now he's come up big time. And the last week's loss against the Eagles, the Giants lost 48-22, was probably their worst loss in quite some time. And how they're going to be able to rebound from this, because I've always said you learn more from losing than you do from winning. So what does Coach Daboll do this week against a Washington team? And we're going to talk about it a little bit more later. A Washington team that is playing pretty well. A lot of people think that they may make the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting coming down the stretch. But I wonder, you talk about Saquon Barkley also. Is he going to take a franchise tag? Are they going to give him a double figures on a new contract? So they got some problems they got to deal with. But the good thing is they're going to have the money to be able to deal with it. And I think Charles Wade, that will give them a chance to evaluate it even further.
I think you're right. And that's something that we can definitely talk about in our next segment, along with a lot of the other things that was going on around the NFL. Because I do have a bunch of things that I have some bones to pick with a lot of these coaches and teams and how they decided to play their games last week. But as we break to our next segment, you're listening to The Expressway with Charles Show Me the Way and the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We will be right back after the word from these our sponsors.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And we're back. We call this the Expressway, Billy Taylor, the BT Express, along with Charles Show Me the Way. And we love this, our new name, the Expressway, because it's two running backs going down the Expressway trying to figure out what's going on. And just to let you know, we do it in four quarters. Our first quarter, we talked about the Giants losing to Philadelphia 48-22. Our second quarter, we're going to go around the NFL, talk about a few games there. And then third quarter, we're going to go back to the subject matter we did a little bit earlier, and this is about running backs getting paid less, and then we're going to talk about analytics. Now, my definition of analytics is the discovery and interpretation and communication of patterns, meaningful patterns that you can put in data. And I think the NFL has gone a little bit crazy on that because too many coaches are going for 2 points instead of the 1 point and going for the win and not even giving them a chance for victory. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But as we go around the NFL and talk about some of the games last week, did you get a chance to see the Jets lose to the Buffalo Bills, Charles? And they say the Buffalo Bills may be one of the best teams in football.
They are. I did get a chance to watch some of that game. And as close as that game was for the majority of the four quarters, I don't think – you just felt the Jets were never in it, right? Especially having Mike White get injured, right, in that game. And now what do you do with Zach Wilson, right? It seems like from what I'm hearing is that they don't even want to play Zach Wilson, even if Mike White is hurt. So what's happened to Zach Wilson being the savior? And now Zach Wilson is being ostracized from the entire team. What's going on over there?
Well, what I've heard and what is weird for me is when people get approached by the press, how do they handle it? They asked him something about, did he feel bad because he didn't do anything for the defense? And he said, no, you got to play the game and sit there and say, well, offense could have gotten better. We could have did this a little bit better. But for him not to take the blame, and then check this out, Charles, I watch him on the sideline during the game. He's by himself. There's nobody going over there patting him on the back. Nobody going over there giving him a high five, talking about things that are happening during the game. And then the Mike White, the guy who went in for him, a lot of people bought T-shirts that said his name on it. And you see all the players that rallied around him. That's kind of deep. And I don't know how to deal with that because your quarterback has really got to be the most popular guy on your team and has got to be, you know, giving people a high five, talking to people during the course of the game, acting like he's, you know, a big part of it. And I did not see that. So I don't know what to think about that. Maybe I'm being a little bit more too critical of Zach Wilson, but he didn't show me that he's a team player. And if you're not a team player from a quarterback position, I think it's going to be tough for you.
It is. I think it's especially at that position where everyone's looking at you to kind of lead them. And especially when you're looking at, what he said about the defense and not being accountable for his performance, right? It's tough. It's tough for an entire team. But I think it goes much deeper than that. I think that's a locker room situation. I think maybe he hasn't endeared himself to a lot of the players in the locker room, possibly. And that's why we're here. It does show that they, a lot of the players are playing harder. It may be just because we're trying to put a focus on it now and try to see what's going on and differentiate the playing styles, but they are playing harder for Mike White as opposed to Zach Wilson. At least they're giving him some time. Maybe they've changed the schemes. Maybe just Mike White knows where to get rid of, you know, knows where to throw the ball, get rid of the ball. And as you see, when Mike White's in there, he's making quick decisions. The ball is in and out of his hand, and defense doesn't have a lot of time to tee off on him. And they're using the running game to make sure that they keep the pressure off of him.
Yeah, I think the Jets have surprised a lot of people this year because they're playing championship defense. I mean, their defense, you may argue, but it may be in the top five in the NFL, definitely top five, in the AFC. They come to play every week. They're mean. They're nasty. These guys are flying around the ball, and that's how you want your defense to play. If you have any kind of offense at all, you have a chance to make your team better. But those conditions, and I wanted to ask you, Charles Wade. I know you went to University of Virginia. That Buffalo Bill game, I was scared because it was too cold. It was raining, snowing, and it just looked too cold. And from a running back standpoint, those are the games I just hate to be in.
But those are the fun games because they don't like to tackle you either, right? I used to love playing in the cold weather because they wouldn't like to tackle you. You like, hey, let's go one-on-one DBs trying to use arms to tackle you. I'm like, go ahead. I don't even have to run fast anymore now. So I think I love playing in cold games because no one wants to get hit because it's too cold out there. But standing on the sidelines is not fun in a cold game. I'll tell you that right now.
One of the things I love about the NFL is that hot seat. I think that's one of the best inventions in the history of inventions because the hot seat, which are those white benches behind the players, behind the lines, they will get so hot that you have to get up off the seat because it is so hot. And then you got some kind of warm material on, either a coat or something. I've never, ever liked the cold. And I'm from Texas, just never liked it. We played in Buffalo, Green Bay, everywhere, and I thought I was going to die. I mean, to be that cold, and you ever had your feet frozen where you can't feel your feet?
Yes.
That's a bad feeling, Charles Wade.
It is. Hey, don't forget, I was standing on the sideline for that Green Bay game in which Tom Coughlin's face was peeling off. So I know exactly what you mean. So
how come you didn't help Coughlin with his face? I saw him. I thought he was going to die.
No, I'm telling you. I tried, when we walked out there, I remember clearly, I had never been in a place that cold ever in my life, right? And so we're actually about to get on the bus. And this is how I knew we were going to have a good game. Before we get on the bus, we just finished a pregame meal. And one of the police officers that was escorting the buses was like, you know what? It's so cold that if you get a cup of hot water and throw it in the air, it'll turn to snow. I'm like, really? Never been in weather like that. So, you know, we all got hot water and started throwing it in the air. We're playing with hot water, making it turn to snow right before the biggest game of our lives. And that was the moment I knew that we were in a good place and we had a chance to win that game.
Now, was that the game that you guys beat Green Bay?
That's right. Right in Green Bay.
And then you guys, was that the Super Bowl in 2000?
Is that seven? That was the 2007 Super Bowl.
2007 Super Bowl.
So that was amazing. And like I said, there are a lot of similarities. When I look at the Giants this year, there are a lot of similarities to when Jim Fossil first took over from Dan Reeves in 97, where we still weren't very good. We didn't have an established quarterback at the time, but he did enough to keep us in games, and we did just enough to win a lot of the games that allowed us to go to the playoffs. We were undefeated in our division. which helped, right, at the time. And so it allowed us to be a number one seed winning our division. So I think from a transition standpoint, I think that's where we see Brian Daboll right now is yep. like he's transitioning, trying to get his core guys together and then trying to establish like a structure that he wants everybody to fall underneath so that moving forward, he can, you know, kind of drive that winning attitude and standard that he doesn't want anybody to fall below.
Yeah, but see, I really like him so far. And I was wondering, I was going to ask you the question, Charles Way, about a coach. Sometimes when things happen during the course of a game and the coach goes over and nips it in the bud right away, like if Danny Jones makes a mistake, I see him go over there and talk to Danny right away. If Saquon or offensive lineman makes a mistake, he goes over and takes care of it right away. I was wondering, do you like that kind of coaching, or would you rather them wait till the next day or while you're watching film to kind of critique you?
I think it's important. I think it's important that...
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
A coach does it right away if that's his style. If the players are used to him facing issues head on and discussing it right away, then he has to continue it. The worst thing a coach, from my experience, can do is having some inconsistencies on how he deals with players. He has to be consistent. Whether he's going to treat the good players differently, he just has to be consistent about it. If he's going to treat everybody the same, he has to be consistent about it, because that's how a lot of coaches lose the locker room, is when he's not being consistent and he's treating different situations differently. And so if Brian Daboll can continue to treat every situation the same, like he's been treating the situations, I think he has a chance to be very successful in New York.
Well, I like the guy already, and I like his demeanor. I like the way that he goes around and talks to all the players. Another game, which a lot of people talked about last week, was the Cowboys over the Texans. They only beat them 27-23. They were favored by over 17.5 points, and they had to put a 98-yard drive at the end of the game by Dak to win the game. And I was trying to figure, is that because the Cowboys are playing down to the level of the Texans? Or is, because Dak did not have a good game, he threw a couple of interceptions. And sometimes you play down to your opponent, which is easy to do. So I don't know which one do I look at the Cowboys for, you know, coming through at 98 yards at the end to win the game, or do I look at them as really not being ready to play?
I think it's all of the above. I think you got to look at the Texans' record being 1-10, and being at a 17-game season. You can't be up for every game, right? And Dallas has a big game coming up with the Eagles here in a week, right? They're playing the Eagles in a week. So that's a big game for them. And so when you look at how long a season is, you can't get up for every game. And that kind of played a role, I believe, in their performance. But the Texans are a tough team. They just don't have a lot of talent. And maybe that's why they fired their general manager a couple weeks ago, is because they don't have the talent they need to compete week in and week out. And Lovie Smith is doing an excellent job. So if they fire that man after this year, they have a problem, because the defense has kept them in the game, has made them at least respectable for most of the games. And I think if you give them, and the jury is still out on this quarterback too, the Texans quarterback, because he has some great games, he has some not so great games. But my question to anybody is there really a quarterback that you can count on in the draft or in free agency that you can say, okay, he's going to take us to the next level?
Well, see, the thing about it, you look at what Baker Mayfield did in Carolina. There's no guarantee on the first pick in the draft when they do that. So it's a tough situation. But I did hear, you know, my sisters, they're Houston Texans fans, and they got season tickets down there. But they do say that they're going to go after a quarterback after this year. And I don't think they're going to fire Lovie Smith after 1 year, because a lot of times he's been in a lot of games. The games have been pretty close. He hadn't been able to come through, maybe because of his quarterback. But they say that the number one or two pick in this year's draft should go to the Houston Texans as they try to get a quarterback in there. What do you think, Charles?
I think that's right. I think, you know, for them, not focusing a lot on them, so I don't know a lot of the different dynamics of their team. But from a skill position wise, they do have great skill position. Their running back position is solid. I know their defense is solid. And maybe that is the one position that they do need to address, is the quarterback, if they find the right quarterback. I think the key is they're going to have to find the right quarterback. Like, look at the Steelers. You know, they're playing with Pickett from the University of Pittsburgh right now, yep. Right? And he's doing an admirable job. I mean, he's not, obviously Tomlin has a great system, and it seems like any quarterback that it's like New England. You can put a quarterback in that system and they'll be all right. They'll keep you in games. They won't lose too many games for you. And look at, they almost beat the Ravens last week, and yep, they were down two quarterbacks, the Ravens, you know? So it's kind of hard to see whether a quarterback is deserving the starting position, or whether you should start looking for a new quarterback elsewhere, whether it's the draft or free agency. But when you go around the league, look at Baker Mayfield. I thought he had the makeup and moxie of a great quarterback. He showed that leadership ability, but that leadership ability can wear on you sometimes, depending on how you approach certain guys, especially when you're in the NFL. It kind of worked in college, but I don't think it worked in the NFL. And I think he has some issues in the locker room and Cleveland that made it hard for him to have the type of success that I thought he should have had while he was at Cleveland. And then you look at Cleveland and Cincinnati and that situation now. You got Deshaun Watson coming back, right? And they just paid him close to $40-something million to lead that team. And the jury's still out on Deshaun Watson. He did a good job, not a great job. He did a good job while he was with the Texans. But Joe Burrow, you see the two. Who would you rather have right now? You know, Deshaun Watson or Joe Burrow, right? Burrow. And in that game, you saw that you wanted to have Joe Burrow as opposed to Deshaun Watson.
You listen to The Expressway with Billy Taylor
and Charles Wade. When we come back, we're going into the third quarter, and we're going to talk again why running backs are not getting the money they deserve and why they're kind of being put down. And then we're going to talk about analytics in professional football, what it has done for the game. Don't move a muscle. We're right back with more after these messages.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Way, here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And we're going to have you come ride with us as we go into our third quarter, where we're going to talk about an issue that we've been talking about for the past 3 weeks, and that's the running back position and whether they should get paid what they rightfully deserve. And I think when we started this conversation, I was like, they need to get paid. But then I put on my GM hat and I said, they don't need to get paid. Then I put back on my running back hat and say, they need to get paid. But now I'm gonna put on my New York Giant hat and like, okay, Saquon Barkley can't perform to the level that we need him to perform week in and week out. So they may not need to get paid. So for me, when I see how Saquon and offensive line and how running backs are just, I mean, it's just a tough position to play week in and week out, especially now for 17 weeks. It was hard playing 16 weeks.
Yes.
Now they're playing 17 weeks and they're not even getting the ball like we used to get the ball 30, 40 times a game. Think about, you know, OJ Anderson, John Riggins. How many John Riggins, that man was playing 16 games and getting the ball 30 times a game, right?
I just think that it's a tough position. We're in a new game now. You don't see running backs like, you know, they get the ball like 20, 30 times a game, every game. I think you have to be able to move the ball around. You got to be able to be wide open because defenses are good too. They're taking people away. They'll take great wide receivers. They'll take great running backs away. So I think it's up to the coach. But I think the only thing that makes me mad is that why would you disrespect the running back and give him lower money? Because I think Saquon, don't get me wrong, he made $7 million this past year, but his contract is up at the end of the year. He's taken a beating this year. He's all that they had. The offensive line was not in the greatest order, but he still gave his all, and I still think he's one of the best running backs in the NFL. I just don't know, coming down the stretch, can he handle the pressure and the entourage that's going to happen with him when the Giants are in a situation where they got to have it? So, you know, this is a playoff time. This is when the cream steps to the top of it. If he wants more money, does he have to have some good games, Charles Wade? Or does he have to sit back and wait to see what the defense gives him and see how Brian Daboll calls his number enough?
I really do think these last 4 weeks will determine for me whether to pay him or not. Because this is when you need your horse, right? Your main stallion to be leading you to the promised land. And if we're not able to do that, it's going to be tough for us to, or if I was the GM, seeing me spend $15 to $16 million a year when I don't know if you can play a whole year. You haven't shown since your first 2 years here that you can stay healthy for an entire year. And until we determine whether you can stay healthy for an entire year, it's going to be hard for me to determine whether I should pay you or not. And especially after last week, when I needed you to show up. I needed you to show up to be the Saquon Barkley. I'm still waiting for that Saquon Barkley to show up, little guy that I saw in Penn State that reminded me of Marshall Faulk when he was playing. That was like a video game. Like every time he touched the ball, something good was going to happen, right? I still remember I was sitting in my room. I'm like, you got to look at this dude from San Diego State. This dude is like a video game. Every time he touches the ball, something great happens. And that was Marshall Faulk, man. Every time he touched the ball, he was like, choo-choo-choo, running 60 yards, 7 yards, breaking a long touchdown. And that's how I felt when I would watch Saquon Barkley at Penn State. I'm like, this dude is legit. I want to see him do well on the football field. And we got a chance to have that dude. And I haven't seen that week in and week out. And so I'm still waiting for that. And that's my hesitation about paying him, is because I still haven't seen the Barkley, Saquon Barkley, that I saw in Penn State.
Well, see, my problem is that he doesn't have, like, I watch different running backs, even Ezekiel Elliott of the Cowboys and his partner come through the line with just being able to put a move on the safety because the hole is so big. I don't see that many times for Saquon Barkley, and he's got to figure out some other way to do it because he's getting run down.
He is. But, I mean, it could be the offensive line. Like I said, I always think that you need blockers in front of you, especially when you have eight guys in a box. And now teams are playing the Giants because they don't think Daniel Jones can beat them. And their receivers definitely aren't respected by defenses. So why not put that extra guy in the box, play man-to-man across the board? And you know what? If you're not going to run the ball, Saquon, you're not going to beat us. So I dare you, Daniel Jones, to beat us. And that hasn't happened yet. And until that happens, until there is some balance on the offensive side of the ball, it's going to be tough for Saquon Barkley. And I think that's why you need to play action pass, get the ball out quick. Do things that'll help not only frustrate the defense because they can't get to the quarterback, but then gives Saquon a chance to make some plays because the defense is so frustrated.
Well, do you think that because of his lack of an offensive line, I mean, they've had, I don't know how many different types of offensive linemen in there. They've brought people in, let people go. They've, you know, put in a new starting lineup one week to the next. That's got to hurt Barkley. But then, you know, if you're carrying the ball, like I said, I carried it 35 times a couple weeks ago and hasn't been the same since. Is it because of the offensive line or because he's getting worn down?
I think you're just taking a beating. As a running back, you get beat up in that position, right? And take it from me, where I was not only running the ball, I was blocking. I was taking a beating twofold. One from linebackers knocking heads with, and just everybody else trying to knock me down themselves when I got the ball. So, I mean, I sympathize with him. Trust me, my body was beat up. I would come in at halftime, BT. I was like, man, what am I doing? I got a degree so that I could get away from this mess. And so I thought I was going in an insane asylum. Like, why am I still here? My back is hurting. My neck is hurting. And this is at halftime, right? I'm like, I got to go back out there and do the same thing for another 30 minutes. So, man, I sympathize with these guys. I envy what they go through. And the player in me says they deserve to get paid because of what they put their bodies through. So that's where we are. You know, it starts with the coaches. It starts with the players. It starts, and in essence, it starts with the scouting department, making sure they have the right players for that system, for that scheme, so that they're doing what they need to do, so that they have the type of players. Like I said, I go back to the linebacker position, right, at the Giants. They're not athletic enough to make the plays that they need to make. So when they do get out of position, they're not athletic enough to get back in the position to make the plays. And so when you go to analytics, it starts from the top all the way down to the bottom. I just think it's hard for players to buy in the analytics because all we think about is that play. How are we going to be successful for that play that was called? I think the analytical aspect goes to the GM in the front office, and then it goes to the coaches. And I think from a coach's standpoint, you got to go with feel. Like, let's take, for example, the Texans game. If you watch the Texans game against Dallas, they were up by 3 points, and they were in the red zone twice and went for a touchdown twice. All they had to do was kick a field goal, understanding that you don't have the same talent. You're in a good position to win a game, right? You got into a position to win a game, and now score points, whatever way you can. Don't try to go for the jugular because you're not good enough to do that. And so that's when I think you're relying on analytics to dictate the feel that you have for a game. And until you change that, you got to have a feel for your team. You know, if I was Lovey, I would have kicked the field goal knowing that, hey, I got 6 points. Even though they may score a touchdown, I can still win with a field goal. And if they would have been up by 9 points, and they would have had to score twice. Dallas would have had to score twice. That would have put more pressure on them. So I think, yes, you do have to at least understand the analytics behind the situation. But at the end of the day, it comes to feel.
Yeah, but see, the basic football is at the end of a game, if you get your running game together, it runs out the clock. It you know, keeps the defense off the field, allows their defense staff to stay on longer. So that's why I don't understand you throwing some passes at the end of the game instead of running the clock with a running back who's supposed to run out the clock for you. So that bothers me too.
That's right. So you're listening to the Expressway with Charles Show Me the Way and the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And we'll be back to take a look at this weekend's game, this most important game with the Commanders at sea. if the Giants even have a chance of making it to the playoffs.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Show Me the Way, here with BT Express, Billy Taylor. And we're having you come down for a ride with us as we travel down the world of sports and check out the Eagles Commanders. Let's do it again. Sorry. All right, three. And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Show Me the Way, here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And we're in our final quarter here. And then we're going to take a look at this upcoming game with the Giants and Commanders. This all-important game, a matter of fact, to see if one of these teams can make it to the playoffs. And as we all know, we hope the Giants can win this week. And it'll be one step closer to them getting into the playoffs. Obviously, BT, we talked about they needed to win two of the last five games last week. Now they got to win two of the last four games. And the most likely wins is this week against the Commanders and in 2 weeks against the Colts. But as we look at this week's game, what do you see that they have to do to avoid the same mistakes that they did the last time they played the Commanders just a week and a half ago?
Well, I think the offense has got to be more consistent with controlling the line of scrimmage. I've always thought if you can control the line of scrimmage by running the ball and then being able to play action, then you have a chance to win. And that's putting Danny Jones in the best position possible because he's not great dropping back, straight back, and trying to whisk his team to victory. I think he has to have a support system where Saquon's, moving the ball, moving the chains, and then be able to roll himself outside, right or left, and being able to be more accurate with the football when he throws it to people. I know that people talk about the lack of wide receivers, but they still have pretty good talent. I like the tight end, Daniel Bellinger. He's been coming back the last few weeks. I still think that, hopefully Kenny Golladay can come and contribute, but for some reason they're not getting along from an offensive standpoint, and so they're putting too much pressure on the defense to have to win the game, and that's going to be a tough one. But Washington has shown me something, and I'm kind of scared of them this week. And by going on the road, the Washington Commanders are favored by 4.5. I don't know what the Giants can do, but they've got to play their best game possible.
They do, and hopefully they can get some of these guys back. I don't know if Adoree Jackson, I think he is eligible to they have him listed as questionable for this weekend's game. So hopefully he'll be back so that they have at least a corner in the fold. They have Leonard Williams marked as questionable, right? And then, like I said about Bredesen, the guard who had won the guard position when we started the season, it should be coming back. And I don't know if he's going to start or not, but I think it's an opportunity for us to kind of see what this team is made of when we're whole. I don't know if we're going to be ever whole like we were at the beginning of the season, but we need to get healthy quick. I think we're going to have a tough time going against the Washington's pass rush. They did a great job of limiting the damage of that defensive line that Washington has. You know, Jamar Chase is ready to come back stronger than ever. Right. So they have a huge defensive line. And I think that, like I said before, play action pass and get the ball out quick You don't want to get in third and long situations all day against a team like this. And think about this. Now that Wentz is healthy, he's now the backup to Heinicke. They love Heinicke. They found the quarterback in Heinicke. And so I'm afraid of Heinicke because he makes great decisions. He doesn't do anything that will cause them to lose a game. And so that's what I worry about is do the Giants defensively have enough talent to keep Heinicke in a box so that he's not beating them and torching them and throwing the ball all over the field like he's done against Dallas and like he's done against the Eagles, right? And he did in that last drive against the Giants.
And I totally agree because he has really surprised me. He's not that big of a guy, but as you say, he makes good decisions. And I think that's what the Redskins need, just someone who doesn't make a mistake. And my view is always, and I probably say it every week, my view as a quarterback is you take what the defense gives you. If they give you the little dump down to the running back or the tight end, take it. Don't throw in double coverage at all. If somebody's double covered, look somewhere else. And that's what makes me mad on a lot of quarterbacks because they're looking for the home run instead of taking, just bringing the ball down the field slowly, whatever it takes. And then what you do is you keep your defense off the field when you're able to take the ball down. I like those 14, 15 play drives that they kind of make a defense kind of get a little bit, a little wary because you make a defense on the field that long, they're going to get tired. So I think that they got to come up with a game plan. And like you said, Saquon is due for a better game than he's had the last 3 or 4 weeks. It's time for him to step up. I know he's hurting a little bit, but the offensive line has got to be able to protect people. And Danny Jones before they lost to Washington, a couple of times last year and this year, Danny Jones had beat him 4 or 5 times. So he's got to step up and get that feeling he had when they were beating the Washington Commanders a couple of years ago when Danny Jones first started.
That's right. And like you said, it's really going to come down to who's going to make the biggest mistake because these teams are two evenly matched teams. I think they're both in the same position. They both have quarterbacks that the jury is still out on. They're not knocking down any top 10 quarterback positions or trying to get into the Hall of Fame, right? And the both of the defenses are equally positioned. I think I would give the edge on defense to the Redskins just because they have a healthier defensive line and getting a lot of guys back. I don't know if I would give the edge to the Giants on offense because Washington has a lot of great skill positions on their side of the ball that they've been winning with, right? And so like I said, on paper, I don't think the Giants come position by position will come on top if you go position by position against the Redskins. But I think collectively, if Dabo can put together a good game plan, if Mark Wink and Wink Martindale can come up with a great defensive game plan to contain Heinicke, do what he did for the first 3 quarters of that first game, and maybe, just maybe, they'll have a chance to get out of there with a win.
But what scares me, Charles, is that when you bring in Heinicke, he's got mobility and agility, and he's able to, when the Giants play man defense in the backfield, he's able to be able to burst through the line because when they turn their back to cover the wide receivers, then he's got a lot of room to run, and he's taking advantage of that. And I think that the quarterbacks nowadays have to take advantage of situations when they can run the ball. And you got to have a quarterback who's got the quickness to do it. Danny Jones does, but he doesn't know how to slide. And I think that's the thing that kind of hurts him a little bit. But Heinicke has really shown me something the last couple of years. I'm a little bit worried. I know I need the Giants to win because this is their best situation to possibly get involved in the playoffs. If they can beat Washington, that puts them still a game and a half up on Washington, but it's going to be a tough situation for them. And Washington, it seems like they're coming on strong. You mentioned that defensive line with Chase. If Chase comes back, it's going to be a tough situation for the Giants. He's going to go against the rookie from Alabama that the Giants got as the number one draft choice. So it's a tough situation for the Giants.
It is. And it doesn't, like I said, on paper, it doesn't look good, but I think Brian Daboll will, bring everybody together, understand the importance of this game, given that the last game was a tie. They played three great quarters, right?
Yep.
And so they just now got to play an entire game. They got to play a full 60 minutes. And if they can play a full 60 minutes, they will definitely have a chance to win. But like you said, it's going to come down to two positions, the offensive line and the defensive line. Can the defensive line keep Heinicke in the pocket and make him be a drop back passer? Don't let him run. And then can the offensive line provide enough space to give Saquon Barkley enough room to run the ball, keep the pressure off of Daniel Jones, and can he have enough time to do the quick short game, short passes so that they can continue to move the ball down the field, frustrate that defense, and keep them on schedule.
Do you think this is the most meaningful game the Giants have played in 4 or 5 years?
I think so. You would have to think so. Given how the rest of the schedule lays out, this is the most important game of the season, right? Right now, right here, this weekend. Because if they don't win, I don't think they have a shot of making the playoffs, right? I don't think they can beat Minnesota. I know it's going to be tough to beat Philly in Philly, knowing it's going up close to the darn near last week of the season, right? They have a lot of things going against them, so they need to win this week, right? Have a chance to beat Minnesota the following week, and then going to Indianapolis, knowing that if we beat Indianapolis, we're a playoff team.
Well, see, I like it that they have a shot at it, because the last 6 or 7 years, Giants have not even been close to the playoffs. And for all the Giant fans who've been suffering like myself, and then I think this is a great opportunity for them. No matter what has happened in the last 5 or 6 weeks, they've lost for a long time. And I just feel bad that they are not able to do it. But Charles Way, always a good show, my buddy. This is going to be a nervous one this weekend. Just give me your pick before we get out of here, the Giants in Washington.
I'm going to go with the Giants. I think they have a lot to play for. I think Dabo will have these guys up for this week's game, and I think we'll win by 3 points. It'll be close.
For Charles Way, I'm Billy Taylor. We call this the Expressway. I want to thank Justin Rothman back in the studio for always lending us a hand and making us sound good. Hope everybody has a great week. It's going to be an interesting week as we come down the stretch in the NFL, and we will see you next week. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for joining us. I'm Billy Taylor, along with my buddy Charles Way. Thanks for listening, everybody. You've been listening to The Expressway with BT Express, Billy Taylor, and Charles Show Me The Way. And we're on the NFL 8 podcast each and every week, and thanks for listening, everybody.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.